Wow. I can't believe I'm here. Sorry guys, I'm already getting emotional. I've been wanting to serve for a while. Those of you who know me know that. But yeah, just wanted to thank you guys all for coming. I didn't expect this many people. It goes all the way back. Makes me a little nervous. But yeah, thank you all so much for being here. I love you all so much. Once I entered high school, I had many spiritual promptings and confirmations that I needed to serve a mission. But as you know, life, the natural man, and Satan have a way of trying to stop you from doing what's right. However, what I have always come back to when thinking why I want to serve a mission, it is because I love my Lord and my Savior. He has truly changed me and my life. That is why I'm serving a mission. I truly do not know where I would be without him. I've told this story so many times, but I'm gonna tell it again, just a little bit shorter, because I love it. It holds a special place in my heart. But I was very anxious to receive my mission call. Like, I'm pretty sure you missionaries know that, yeah, there's anxiety, but I just didn't expect it. I just don't feel like I'm a very anxious person, so it was crazy. But I think I was so nervous because I just didn't want to go somewhere that I didn't want to go, which is valid. Specifically, like, Provo, Utah, or something. Even though that would have been a great mission, I was just probably blinded by my anxiety. But the day I had received my call, I decided to open it by myself at the temple. I brought my call, my patriarchal blessing, and a set of scriptures. I had been fasting, asking Heavenly Father to, no matter where I got called, that I could feel peace and reassurance that's exactly where I needed to go. During confirmations, before I opened my call, I had a very distinct prompting to ask where the names were from where I was getting confirmed for. They were all from London, England. I told the ordinance worker I was opening my mission call after this and asked him where he thought I was going to go. And he said, "Well, you're probably going to go to London, England, because that's where I confirmed you for." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, sure." But sure enough, I got called to London, England. And I cannot describe the peace and reassurance that I felt on that temple bench when I opened my mission call to London, England. It was one of those moments where you're like, God is so real, and this is how I know. It was not a coincidence at all that those confirmations were from London, England. It felt so real. It felt like, wow, God knows me so well, and he is so aware of me, and is in every single detail of my life. However, I was planning on leaving back in February. I put my availability as February 19th, and I got called for August 6th. It's funny because I actually remember telling my dad, he's not over there, he's in there. I remember telling my dad, I said, "Papa, if I get called for August, I'm sending my papers back. I'm not going. That is way too far out there. That's like 6 months." But for those of you who are maybe a little bit older, no, 6 months is probably not that much time, but I was like, 6 months is forever, I'm not doing this. Here we are though, 5 months later, 2 weeks away. Time flew by, just like everybody said it would. But brothers and sisters, I cannot tell you how absolutely devastated I was. I don't know why I was so devastated. I was like, I am not waiting 5 months to go. I remember falling to my knees after reading that in front of the temple and crying to God. And I said, "I don't belong here. I don't want to be here right now. I want to go. I need to go." But obviously here we are. And a couple weeks later, I told myself I was going to stay busy and fill my time with things I've always wanted to do, like a bucket list per se, that I wanted to complete before my mission. I called it 18 things I want to do before I serve for 18 months. This list was filled with things like skydiving, hiking Angel's Landing in Zion National Park, dinner parties, a California sunset, paragliding, doing a triathlon, and more. I was pretty ambitious. I can confidently say I did not finish that list at all. I don't even know if I did anything. But as I was trying to, I noticed something. I wasn't feeling filled like I thought I would. I felt like I was trying to check off a checklist. Like the things that I was doing weren't making me feel whole. I didn't feel like my time was being meaningfully spent. I thought that if I filled my time, it would fill my soul. But I was wrong. I remember my brother Andrew signing up to be at a homeless shelter every Saturday. I remember him coming home telling the story to our family about he brought a cinnamon roll to a homeless man at that shelter because it was his birthday. He told us what the man had said, something along the lines of, "I've never been given something on my birthday before. Thank you." That night, I was thinking of that story and I started to cry. I think I felt something inside me switch. I started to realize that maybe my time here 5 months before the mission, and even my time here on Earth at all, wasn't about the next adventure I could go on or how I could fill my time so that I seemed busy, active, or driven to other people. Maybe it wasn't about me at all. One of my favorite songs by Lauren Daigle, she says, "You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I'm free. How can it be?" That sentence reminds me that Jesus saved me from my sins and also broke the bands of my death. But not just that, but every doubt, every fear, every uncomfortable, inadequate feeling I have ever felt, he's felt it too. Just so that he could be my empathizer. Just so that he could be my friend. How can that be? Not only does it remind me that he is my savior, but it also reminds me that he's my teacher and my example. He gave his life to give me mine. That sentence reminds me that this life is not what I can do for myself, but what I can do for others. Often when people hear, "give your life to others," or "give your life to God," they think it's a sacrifice, maybe like a chore of some sort, a way to fill a commandment. But service isn't a way to fill a commandment. It's a way to fill us. I have been working at the temple every Friday morning since April. Before I received my mission call, sorry guys, lost my place, there we go. Before I received my mission call, I remember telling myself that I would never work in the temple. I don't know why, I just always thought it would be too long, or maybe I wouldn't get anything out of it. I just simply didn't have a desire. As I committed myself to this temple shift though, I tried to prioritize it. I find myself canceling vacations so that I could go to my temple shift instead of canceling my temple shifts to go on vacations. I really did start to like it. At the beginning, I told myself, coming as a temple patron, you are there to receive healing and comfort for yourself. But as a temple worker, you're there to give healing and comfort to others. I almost thought this in a way, insinuating that when I go as a temple patron, I almost liked it better. I felt I received more healing, more peace, when I was just there to find peace and comfort for myself and not to work. or serve others. I think it was in these last couple of weeks that I realized I started finding more joy in going as a temple worker. I really did start to love it instead of like it. Because when I showed up for others to give them peace and comfort, I found it myself. Almost more than just being a temple patron. I've learned that serving others fills me more than doing anything for myself does, especially in the Lord's holy house. As I watched Jesus' character, example, and teaching ability change the aspect of my life, I've also seen him do the same thing for my brother Andrew and my whole family. I've seen my dad give his life to Jesus. Every morning he sits in the same place at the kitchen table, reading his scriptures. Every day he wakes up for work to provide for his eternal family. I know without a doubt that without my dad, I wouldn't be where I am spiritually today. So thank you, Papa. But after I had this, the 18 days before 18 months, I erased it after that, and I put slow down and look outward, because I really wanted to stop focusing on the next adventure that I was planning. I wanted to try and serve others more. But, sorry guys, we're just really short on time, so I'm going to cut this. Next, I want to talk about Jesus' atonement and God's grace. There was a time right around my mission call where I felt I sinned so bad that I was inadequate to receive my mission call, even though it probably wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I was overwhelmed with a dark, heavy weight throughout my spirit and soul. I couldn't shake the feeling and thought that I had messed up and that I wasn't good enough, especially to be a missionary. Something that I've been looking forward to for several years of my life. I sat down that night before my stake president interview to submit my mission papers. I was with Andrew. I told him I had something to tell him and that I needed to get it off my chest before the interview. I then explained to him what happened in detail. I was expecting a yikes, yeah, that's bad. But instead, I got a chuckle. And he said, Andrew then looked me in my eyes and said, "Everything that happened is just fine. Anna, you are golden." Even though a loving older brother told me that, all I could see was my Savior saying, "Anna, nothing you can and will ever do will change the way I look at you. You are a daughter of God. You are divine. You have a heavenly purpose, and no sin or no one can ever take that away from you. You are golden." I think of the scripture story of the woman in adultery. Go and sin no more. I hope all of you guys know that story. Jesus, there's a woman in adultery, and all of the Pharisees are like, "Should we stone her, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "Those of you who have never sinned can cast the first stone." And obviously everybody left. But he looks at the woman and he says, "Go and sin no more." Why would he say that though? Why did he say that to her when she's obviously going to sin more? That is what I've always wondered until I started to understand Christ's love, but also enabling power. Christ loves us so much that he wants us to do better, to be better. He said that because it's a call to action. Please use my grace. Please use my atonement. I know you. I know your worth. I know your celestial potential. Go and change for the better. A couple weeks ago, I found that I was very upset with myself. I'm not doing enough. I need to do more. I need to serve more. I need to talk of Christ more. I need to appreciate my family more. I need to prep for my mission better. I need to do more. I find myself having these feelings of inadequacy and thoughts of not doing or being enough, especially when I think about my future missionary service. at church the other week, my friend Sarah Horsley, she's in the back over there, came up to me. We talked about how I was feeling, and she grabbed me by my shoulders, and she looked me straight in the eyes. "Anna, you know of grace, but why don't you live by it? Grace means to me that I am not good enough. None of us are. We're fallen people in a fallen world. No matter how hard we try with our own efforts, we will never be perfect. We will never be who we want to become, and we will never be good enough on our own. But that's where Jesus Christ steps in. And that's why Jesus Christ changed my life. That's why he changed all of our lives. More than our lives, he actually changed our eternity. Jesus says, "That's okay. You are good enough with me. I will do it. I will carry the weight. I will pay the price. I will fill what is unfilled. I will finish what is unfinished." I imagine a list of all the things that I've done wrong in my hands, looking up at the law of justice and my fate staring at me. In that scenario, there's a pit in my stomach, and I am in much agony and sorrow. I know of all the things I have done, and I know I have to pay for them. Justice and fate come over to me and point at the dotted line at the bottom of the list, handing me a pen. "Anna, it's time for you to sign. You know your fate, and the universe demands justice. You need to pay the charges." I gulp and I close my eyes, squeezing the pen in my hand. My mind flashes through everything I've ever done wrong. Tears rolling down my cheeks, I aim the pen towards the paper, ready to sign, and less ready to face my deserved fate. But then something sudden happens. The pen is removed from my hand. I look up and it's Jesus. He takes the pen from me and wipes away my tears. He places the list in his hands. With tears in his eyes and a soft smile, he signs his name on the dotted line, right where my name was supposed to be. He hands it to my fate in the law of justice and says, "It is finished." Jesus Christ is my Savior. Brothers and sisters, find rest in knowing that Jesus didn't just do that for Anna McNeil, but he did that for every single one of us. Find rest in knowing that the external or internal battle you feel you need to face for your wrongdoings, Christ has already won. The debt that you feel like you need to pay has already been paid in full by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Find peace in knowing that Jesus Christ has signed his name on that dotted line already. Step into the light of Christ's atonement and God's grace. Forgive yourself, forgive others, and feel the joy that the good news of Jesus Christ has to offer. Brothers and sisters, I love my Savior. That's why I'm going on a mission. It's because I love him. And I'm so grateful for him and everything that he's done for me in my life. And I know the way that he has changed my life, he can change your life too if you let him. And thank you to everybody for coming, especially my sister. She flew in from South Carolina to be here. And I love you, family, and thank you so much. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.